Just turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. I don't believe God wants me to preach a message this morning, but somehow kind of just prophesy about next year. This verse is our verse for next year. We can come up with a lot of different verses, all kinds of stuff in Scripture, but for us as Kingdom Faith, this is our verse for 2007. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. That's right. The message that Jesus brought when he began to walk on the earth was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what he did, he preached, he taught, and then he demonstrated the kingdom. The context in which Paul is writing to the Corinthians is where there's divisions in the church, there's different opinions, different sins that are going on and emerging. And in our society, there's different opinions, different beliefs, different philosophies, different lifestyles. And there's something different about the kingdom of God that no other belief, no other religion, no other philosophy, no other preference or whatever has. And that's a demonstration of life and power that can't be argued away.
That's right. Yeah.
That can't be ignored.
Yes.
That can't be politically, correctly shut up or quietened down. And for us as Kingdom Faith, we've had over the years some points, some times, short times of what you call revival. We've had an ongoing move of the Spirit for years. But one of the things I feel God is saying for next year, that it's going to be a year of a lot less talk and a lot more power. That for many of us, in a good way, in a right way, we have, whether it's corporately in this context, whether it's in a life group, in a smaller context, whether it's just in our, when we've been with friends and just in each other's homes, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of things said, a lot of things spoken. And at times we've seen demonstrations of God's life and power. And a lot of us have spoken about the things that we want to see, the things that are in our hearts to see, the things that we long for. Why? Because God has put them there. But one of the things I believe God is saying about next year is that instead of talking about those things, we're going to see them. That God wants to begin to reveal and demonstrate his kingdom in tangible ways. He wants to manifest. He wants to show himself, physical manifestations of the power of God, of the Holy Spirit, touching people's lives. Not just through the preacher, not just in meetings, but through every one of us in our everyday lives. We're aware of the state of things in our nation and in other nations. We're aware of the plans of men in different ways to orchestrate things across Europe. And you've got other religions coming in trying to get a slice of the picture. We've got Islam wanting to have a greater control in this nation, wanting to set itself up as a government within our own nation, establish Sharia law in our own nation, effectively over the next 10 years taking control, wanting to turn this nation into the first Islamic nation in the UK, in Europe, sorry. to then have a greater mission towards Europe. We have different lifestyles like homosexuality, wanting to have a greater voice, wanting to impress not just its own space so that it, people can live the way they want to, but to impose their own ways of thinking and philosophies on society, to have their corner, have their say. And for the church just to arise with more words is just another argument. It's just another group of people wanting space to say something else in amongst so many words that are being said by so many people about so many different things. And we're not here to defend the Christian faith. We're not here to defend Jesus. We're not here to criticize other people, to judge other people. We're not here to make statements against anybody else. But we're here as the church to be a living witness and demonstration of the life and the power of Jesus Christ. For us, that means living an uncompromising life. It means that we live according to the word that in Romans chapter 6, let's look there for a minute at the beginning. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And then he says, by no means, with an exclamation mark. We died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. We need to reckon ourselves dead to offense. We need to reckon ourselves dead to fear, dead to anything that could cause a response of the flesh or the self-life to rise up to say, I do not like that. Not just to do with the world, but stuff within the church. We need to reckon ourselves dead.
That's right. Come on.
To anything that sets itself up to try and inhibit us to walk in the Spirit and to be a people of the Spirit. I believe God is giving favor to people in the workplace to increase their influence through getting promotions, through having a greater influence in the workplace. God wanted to give favor on those who are running businesses, those with entrepreneurial giftings, to give them favor and influence across businesses in all kinds of different boardroom kind of situations, as well as in local authorities, in government, in all kinds of levels, because now is the time that God wants to reveal and demonstrate his kingdom with power.
That's right.
With an authority. The degree that we're submitted to the Holy Spirit will determine the degree of authority that is released in our lives. Not just in the way we speak, but in the presence of God that we carry into a situation. There are some people that walk into a room and they carry something. They don't even have to say anything, but they carry something. I want that in a greater way, and I'm sure you do, in terms of the presence of God. About 4 weeks ago, we weren't here, some of us, but when Ronnie Thomason was here from the States and he spoke about having a passionate prayer life, a personal, passionate prayer life. If we're going to be carriers of the authority of God and be demonstrators of the kingdom, then we need a passionate, personal prayer life. Nothing can replace your time with Jesus. Nothing can establish the weightiness of God in your life more than just spending time in the presence of Jesus. Nothing can replace a fresh release of God's authority and power and wisdom and life than soaking in the presence of Jesus on your own. Something happens in that place. Something of God is revealed to you. Something of God is then revealed from you out of your life into other people's lives. The following Sunday after that, Pastor Colin was speaking about God is building his temple. It's not a physical temple made of stones, but it's a physical temple made of people, living stones, carriers of his life, of his glory, of people that have a passionate, personal prayer life, walk with Jesus. And he spoke about that living temple being made up of Jews, Gentiles, Arabs, one new man in Christ. How God is establishing his kingdom people all over the earth. Then that was followed with that weekend where about hands of mercy, where God was speaking about his mercy, his love, his compassion, his power being revealed. And there's living stones, there's people with a personal, passionate prayer life, walk with Jesus, love for him, desire for him, throwing off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, recognizing that the power of sin has been broken, that we're dead to sin, we're alive in Christ. The people who are walking in the Word, living in the Word, being a living stone, somebody who has the living God in them. God is building a mercy, a compassion, a love, a grace, a fresh release of his authority and power in those living stones. And then we heard last week, being friends of Jesus, that being a friend is closer than a brother. That in that friendship with Jesus, we begin to manifest Jesus in a fresh way. One of the things about being a friend of Jesus is that we don't have to try and be somebody else. We are who God has called us to be. And God has been speaking to us over this period of time about our hearts, about being ready, about next year being a year of harvest. And God has been bringing some things into focus this year. One of those is Israel. In February and in September, David Davis has been twice and spoken prophetically to us as a church, his kingdom faith, about being a lead boat in this nation to do with the purposes of God with Israel, give an understanding of his biblical purposes for the church in this land, but also to actively be involved in what is happening in that nation, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which is not just physical peace, it's the salvation of the nation, it's the salvation of the people in that nation. The peace of Jerusalem is about praying for God's people, to the Jews, to be returned to that nation also. But God has been speaking about Israel during this year. We had Marcel come to Faith Camp because we wanted somebody to speak with an understanding about the Jews and about Islam, to bring right understanding into that national context. And then as a result, a number of us leaders went to go and visit different people to see what God is doing, to see what is happening over there. Mal Fletcher's been with us twice, once in February, once at Faith Camp, a third time in a leadership thing in October, but with a prophetic message about what is the church going to be like in 2020. What you do today determines what the church will be like in 5, 10, 15 years' time. Bringing a prophetic word that the church is called to influence. The church isn't just called to respond to the situations in society, but the church is called to be the influencer, the shaper in society at all different levels. God has been working in our hearts, been speaking since the summer about being dependent on the Holy Spirit. God taking us into a season of time where we're going to be out of our depth. We're going to have to trust God personally and corporately in a new way. To see the purposes of God fulfilled. About giving of ourselves in every way. Giving of our marriages, our family lives, if you're married or if you've got a family. Bringing ourselves right under the lordship of Jesus in a fresh way, because we know that things are heating up. But we can so easily go around our everyday lives doing what we normally do, and then suddenly we find the enemy is upon us and we're not ready. Yesterday afternoon, all my family were out doing different things, and I had a couple of hours just to pray and stuff. And when I got in, before I prayed, I just wanted to flick the telly on just to see what the news was. And so I flicked it on. There was an old war film on. It was Tora, 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 you know, where the Japanese invaded or bombed Pearl Harbor. And it was just at that moment when the the Jap fighter planes were kind of flying in low, and all the guys in the Pearl Harbor area, they didn't have the clue they were coming. Some of them were playing golf, some were doing this, that, and the other, and some of them were, you know, they were just chilling out, relaxing, no idea what was about to happen. And they were actually having at one point, just as these Japanese fighters came over and began to bomb all the ships and the airfield that was there, there were a whole bunch of soldiers, what do you call the guys, Navy guys? Sailors, that's the word, thanks. A whole bunch of sailors on one of the decks, and they were a big brass band, and they were putting the American flag up and everything, and they were having a nice kind of, you know, sort of thing, and, you know, no idea that they're about to have the living daylights bombed out of them. And I just was watching this at that moment, and as I was watching it, I know you can make all kinds of things up, can't you, when you see films, but I was about to flick it over to watch the news, and it was like, that's what our nation's like at the moment. People are eating and drinking. People are playing in the park. People are playing, having a game of golf. They're just doing what they normally do, and they've got no idea what is about to happen in the natural, if we speak naturally for a minute. And it was like suddenly all these warplanes were upon them dropping bombs, and they just did not know which way to turn. And they were completely caught unawares, and it was too late. Too late. And our nation, on the whole, doesn't understand what is going on.
Right.
And the church is supposed to be fully aware of what is going on.
Right.
Now, all of the church is not fully aware of what's going on. There's a small part of the church that is aware of what is going on, that understands spiritually the signs of the times, and has that real discernment of spirit as to what is going on and what needs to happen as a result. Now, we don't want to be, as a church, like the American Navy was in Pearl Harbor, just doing what we do, going around the mulberry bush, doing all the stuff we do, and suddenly the enemy is upon us and we're not ready. We've been praying in certain ways. We've been standing in faith in certain ways. And I believe next year that God is going to begin to give one or two voices. It's going to be the beginning of His voice being heard in the nation.
Come on.
I don't believe there's going to be a lot of it, but there's going to be a few moments during next year where God is going to gives one or two or three, I believe, people opportunities that have an authority about them, a weightiness about them. When Jesus spoke, they said, "Where did you get that authority? By what authority do you speak? Listen to him. We've never heard someone with such authority." Why? Because he was from God. Because God was with him. Because he was a man of prayer. Because he'd done a lot of hidden things that nobody knew about. And I believe God's going to give two or three people in our nation some opportunities to speak on a national forum where the nation is going to hear what is being said. And no matter what people believe and think in their own hearts, they will not be able to argue with the words by the spirit by which these people speak, the authority with which they come, and the weightiness that is there. And I believe some of that is going to begin to happen next year, just a little bit. But I believe next year is a turning point in our nation if we as a church, but also others who are hearing the same kind of stuff as us, if we really not just take to heart, but take to action the things we understand, let's put it this way in bigger terms, how the devil wants to steal, kill and destroy our nation through whatever form of lifestyle, religion, whatever, he'll use anything. But we've got to go to action and step up in a greater way. That God has not called us to be a people who defend our position. We're called to be a people who are on the front foot, who move forward in the purposes of God, so that the devil has to defend his position because we're taking ground.
That's right.
That ground is taken in prayer. That ground is taken in action. It's interesting, all of the things that God has said to us this autumn are all about actions that we need to take, and not just about a position that we have in him. Having a passionate prayer life is something that is active. God building a temple of living stones, and what that involves is something active. Being a people of mercy, of compassion, of power is active. Being led and dependent on the Holy Spirit is active. Less talk, more power is being active. That means we're going to have less reliance on ourselves and more dependence on him. It's getting to the point now where we'll have no option but to trust him, because words alone will not make any difference. I believe that there are many people in our nation, in our community, that before they can become Christians, before they can receive Christ, they need to have an encounter with the power of God. If you think about the people that were demonized, when they came to Jesus, they recognized his authority. They knew who he was. They ran after him, didn't they? They called him the Son of God. They knew who he was, but they couldn't follow him because they needed to encounter the power of God first to break off every demonic activity, every bondage, every stronghold, everything that was had gripped their lives. They needed an encounter with the power of God first, so that then they had a right mind in order to then say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you and follow you and serve you for the rest of my days. That's why words alone will not do it. That's why Jesus came with a message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But then he demonstrated that kingdom with power.
That's right.
And there's a confrontation of power. Demonic power is oppressive. Demonic power controls. Demonic power wants to squeeze people. God's power releases, brings life.
That's right.
And we can't argue with demonic power with words, trying to bring another side of the argument.
Right.
We, as a body, God has taken us to a place of being demonstrators of his life.
Yes.
And just chatting to different ones of you over the last few weeks, a number of different people have said that, you know, you're just finding that more and more people, unsaved people at work or in different places where you are, you're finding that more and more people are just opening up their lives, just opening up, telling about all their problems, about their situations. And you're finding, wow, where did that come from? And people are just opening up their hearts. Why? What's God doing? He's getting the harvest ready.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I mean, he says it's ready today. Less talk, more power. Amen.
Yes.
In Romans 6 there, or in verse 11, it says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We need to reckon ourselves dead this morning. Because one of the biggest challenges internally in your own thinking, when we talk about being a people who demonstrate the kingdom, is one of the first thoughts the enemy comes with is, who on earth do you think you are to release the power of God? You're just you. Look at the problems in your life. Look at the attitudes in your life. Look at this, look at that, look at the other. And what the enemy is trying to do is raise something that is dead to life in your thinking, to use it as ammunition against you. I don't know about you guys, but for me personally, I feel all of the time out of my depth with what I'm doing. There are many days in that I feel I've got to catch up with what is happening. That I'm not quite where I want to be or where I think I should be. I have an internal struggle every day. Now, I'm not talking about something that gets me down. But in my mind, in my thinking all the time, is we want to be there, or I want us to be there, not here. I want us to be there. So, God, what do you need to do in me to get us there, to get me there, first of all, to do whatever. Whatever, you know, it's like, God, I don't just want to be where I am. I want to be there, but I want to be there today. I never feel ready for anything that we're doing. I never feel ready to preach on a Sunday morning. I never feel ready to lead a meeting. I can have stuff from the Lord. You know, you can have stuff prepared. You can have notes. You can have this. You can have the other. But I never really totally feel ready. There's always a bit. And I believe God purposely lets us be like this so that we depend on the Holy Spirit. It's like the Lord just keeps reminding us of our weakness in that sense that, you know, trust in me, trust me, trust me. When any of these guys get up to lead worship, there's not a set format that's followed. Well, let's do these songs and that song and finish it like that, shall we? And then we'll get on with the preach. It's like we want to be open to whatever God wants to do, how he wants to lead us. And, you know, when Heather got up this morning, she didn't know she was going to sing out certain things or whatever Gary was going to do. There's a dependency on the Holy Spirit. For these guys, when they're leading worship, actually they're a bit more on the edge than most of us in pretty much any of our situations, because they're having to be dependent on the Holy Spirit, sense where it's going in front of 400 or 500 people who pretty much have some idea of what it means to flow in the Spirit. And if it's not flowing with the Spirit, then everybody knows it's not. And then the person leading the worship or the meeting feels like, where's this going? This isn't right. Everybody knows this isn't happening and all that kind of thing. So I want to honour the guys who lead the worship, because they get up here in front of all of us wanting to flow with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. And I think overall they do a fantastic job, don't you? Now, there's all sorts of things we could say about Nick Shaw. I've got stuff I could read out to you. But at the beginning of January, I believe God's been saying this to me, we're going to have a vision night at the beginning of January. It's not going to be on a Sunday morning. It's going to be on an evening during the week. Instead of having life groups that week, towards the beginning, sometime in January, we're going to have a vision night. And what we're going to do, it's not going to be a big meeting. We're going to come and we're going to hear vision for 2007, what God's saying, how we're going to move forward, and what that's going to mean for people who want to be in this church in 2007. Amen. Come on. God's been speaking to me about saying, that's why I'm not going to read out some stuff this morning, because God wants us to see what does it actually mean in practice to be part of this church. And you'll have an option on that evening, the beginning of January, as to whether you'd like to stay as part of Kingdom Faith Church and covenant yourself as part of the body, this body, to one another, to the Lord, for what it's going to mean for us as a church. And on that night, if you decide, no, that this is not for me, then we want to bless you so that you can join another body where you feel it's right to be. Is that all right? Because there isn't some people that are in the cab of a truck driving it and some that are in the trailer being pulled along. There are different gifts, different abilities, different anointings in the church, and we're seeking to help get people released in different ways. But there's going to be a dimension of the Holy Spirit next year where You just have to look around to see what to get involved in rather than what can I do? You'd be looking around and say, well, I've got the choice of so many things. Which one am I going to get involved in? There's already loads going on already. So we'll let you know when that date is in January. We're going to have a vision night. And God just wants to be really helpful. Just show us a strategy. Let's put it that way. Not just vision, but strategy for 2007. As to how you can get involved. What does that mean? You can go away and pray about some of it in terms of where you're going to get involved in different ways. But I believe 2007, it's going to be a shift for us. Less words, more power. We're not going to say, well, I prayed for this person and God did that. And, well, I witnessed to them and this is what happened. It's going to be, it's just going to be about God. Well, he just did it. I mean, it was like God just turned up and he completely set them free. It's not going to be, well, I did this and I did that and I said that and then God did this. It's going to be, well, God just did it. That we're going to be slightly dumbfounded, I believe, in the way in which God's going to do stuff in people's lives. And it's going to be, well, God just opened it up. I don't know where it came from, but God just, he just did it. God just, he just opened it up. I don't know. I didn't do anything. God just seemed to do, he just did his thing. Amen. These are the days we're coming into and they're right round the corner. Amen. Let's all stand up, shall we? Come on.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hands in the air. Just thank him that everything he's been speaking to us in the last few months has required action. They haven't just been words of theory. They haven't just been words for ourselves. But they've been words that require action. They require response. They require us to move forward in the things of God, in the purposes of God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that you've called us to be part of this body. Father, I thank you just for the... what you're doing in our nation at this time. Father, I thank you that we are under pressure in our nation. Father, I thank you that you haven't just turned up and blown the enemy away so that we all live on our golf course, or that we all just live in our tea room, or we all just live on our playground, or we all just live in whatever life we're living. Father, I thank you that you are allowing pressure to come upon our nation so the church begins to wake up and, yes! and begins to realize that we need to stand up and be the people of God that you've called us to be, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, just to let things go that really are not that important on the in the scale of the bigger things that you're doing. Father, I thank you for that spirit of faith that you place in us as a church. Father, I thank you for that spirit of revival that you place in us as a church. Father, I thank you for that spirit of prayer that you place in us. That spirit of tenacity, that spirit of determination, that spirit on the inside of us that where we just cannot sit down and let things go by, but your spirit in us that causes us to stand up, to rise up with such a fervency, with a determination that things cannot stay as they are. They must change and come into line with your purposes, Father. Father, I thank you for vision, but I thank you for strategy. Father, I thank you in this coming year, we're not going to have so many words, but a lot more power. In terms of your presence being around in every context, your power as we speak, your power coming,
that's right,
coupled with words in a more dynamic way. But also, Father, I thank you that as we lay hands on the sick, things are going to happen before they get saved. You're going to set people free. Father, I thank you for those lies you've already pinpointed for 2007, where people are in bondage or demonically oppressed. Father, I thank you that as we go to them as living temples, as the living temples, we go to them and you set people free so that they then can, with the right mind, can give their lives to you and be born again and filled with the Spirit and become a demonstrator of your kingdom themselves. Father, I thank you, it's a new day. It's a new day. We heard in the prayer meeting that when the light dawns, it is a new day, and that our nation isn't in darkness, but there's a light shining on our nation. And we need to pray. Once our nation was in darkness, but now it is a nation of light. Yes. That we need to speak over our nation the light that is dawning, the new day that is dawning, the light that is shining on our nation for the kingdom of God to come, for the salvation of Jesus, this harvest across our nation beginning to take place, reaping where we think we haven't sown.
That's right.
Father, I thank you for a willingness from us as a people in the day of your power, that you would find us willing to do whatever it takes to respond to you, Father, whether that means we end up having to move house somewhere else in the town or somewhere else in the 25-mile radius to go and help plant something and start something and see your kingdom established and ignited in a fresh way. When I've been praying, it's like I've just seen a net over the whole 25-mile radius. And God's saying, look, as a church, stop seeing your mission field as one town. I've not called you just to be a church for one town. The apostolic nature of the call is to see your immediate mission field as a 25-mile radius. One church right across the whole region. The nation is your mission field beyond that and the nations beyond that.
Yes.
One church in two, one church in five, one church in 10, in 15 locations. Father, I thank you just for an expansion. The Lord has been saying to me, it's time to step up in your thinking and in your actions in line with what I'm calling you to as a body, as a church. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I praise your name and I thank you for what you're doing. You continue to work in our hearts, work in our spirits. Do everything you want to do, Father. Everything you need to do. I'm open, Father, and I just pray that everybody here is open to whatever you want to do. Father, when we have this vision night at the beginning of the year, Father, that you would just, something would be set off amongst us in a fresh way where there's a willingness of your people in the day of your power, Father. As your Holy Spirit moves, it's not for us, Father. It's for this area, for the 25 mile, for the nation. It's not for us just to consume. It's for everybody else. And we, Father, we just want to be a channel of the way your Holy Spirit is cutting loose and just moving in people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Just turn to the people next to you and say, look out, 2007 is your year.